Ksuvas Perik Hey Mishnah Hey 5:5. This Mishnah lists Elu Malachos Sha'isha Os Levala. These are the various labors that a woman, a wife, performs for her husband. Now, there's a basic machlokas in the Rishonim what this list is about. We'll have a list of seven different activities. Some Rishonim learn the issue here is these are the Masiya Deha that we've been talking about in the previous Mishnayos. This is what her output, economic output, is meant to be. And that being the case, since we paskin, the whole takana, the enactment that her mas yadeh belongs to her husband, was only to her benefit in exchange for her being provided with mazonos, food, clothing, etc. So she is allowed to say, I'm not interested in you providing me with food and support, and I'm not interested in making any economic contributions to the family. I won't perform any of these things. And she'd be entitled to do that. Others learn that that's not what's happening here. This is simply talking about the basic home economics. There's a division of labor in the household. Certain labors are expected to be performed by the husband, and ultimate responsibility falls on him. But the wife has to perform certain tasks, and those are considered to be woman's work. Certainly not an idea that's especially palatable to modern sensibilities, necessarily, in certain circles. But notwithstanding, that's what the Mishnah has in mind here, that there are certain categories of work which are expected for the woman to perform, and these are considered to be specifically a woman's work. And the issue here is actually economic, and a woman's expected to pull her weight, and therefore, if it has to get done, she's the one who's expected to do it. Now, the Mishnah will make it clear that so I should say the Shulchan Aruch Paskins brings both shittas down, okay, both those approaches. Now, the Mishnah will make it clear that this economic contribution the woman has to make to the household, these seven activities, they are only required of her in the absence of someone else doing them. But if the woman brings into the household extra help in the form of servants, or even if she brings in money with which her part of her dowry enables her to pay for domestic help, or even if she is poor and brought nothing to the family, but her husband, says the Rambam, has the wherewithal to afford domestic help, he can hire a live-in maid or two or three, whatever the story is, so then she is not required to do these activities. It's not that it's her, the demand is on her per se, it's that it has to get done, and she is the person to do it if there's someone else who will do it instead. So that's what's going on here in this Mishnah. Now I want to point out that there will be certain, besides this list of seven things, and by the way, some learn these seven things aren't like a finite specific list of seven, but there are sort of like kind of like avos malachos, seven categories of the types of works that women are expected to do. And the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, it is clear that what we're talking about over here, is just in the context, the bigger picture, is that these are the kind of things that women do in this time and place. But if what was considered to be appropriate or normal for women to do would be other tasks, then the list would be altered accordingly. And similarly, like today, we have this list. The first thing on the list is to do the tochenes. She's supposed to grind the flour into wheat. Now, obviously, today no one does that, and we buy flour in the store, and therefore the whole thing just wouldn't be applicable. The halacha would not be that a woman isn't expected to do the grinding of the flour nowadays. That's just not how we do things nowadays. Okay, but at the time of the Mishnah, that was how they did the things, and therefore these were expectations that were on the wife, unless she has some other way to have it done without her physically rolling up her sleeves and doing it herself. So in addition to this list of seven, like I was saying, there are certain, I'll call it very light work around the house, which anyways she's expected to do regardless necessarily. We'll see more of it, you know, in addition to these things, I should say. So that would be kind of like I'll call it light housework, you know, light tidying up of things, as well as like, say, you know, if her husband calls from upstairs and says, oh, honey, I forgot my drafting pencil downstairs, could you bring them up to me? You know, bring stuff from place to place, as Rashi explains, and that kind of thing. So that kind of light work, we're not even contemplating. Of course, she's supposed to be helpful, like he's supposed to be helpful, and therefore that's part of the expectations. In addition to those kind of very light activities, which aren't even mentioned, there are certain activities which aren't a woman's work per se, but rather a wife's role. In other words, we have to differentiate between, I'll call it economic production, which is what we're talking about here in our Mishnah, like her role in terms of the economy of the household, and what's got to do with more social or personal issues. In other words, there are certain things which are expected to these sort of things that a husband and wife share that are expressions of chiba, of affection, of intimacy, and therefore it's certainly not considered appropriate for other women to do it for, even like other servant women, I should say, to do it for the husband. It should be done by the wife, not because he could demand it of her, not by rights she has to do it, but because it's like almost like Eitza Tova is good advice. She ought to do it because this is what engenders the closeness and sense of affection that's important to have between a husband and wife. So those items specifically are listed include mezigas hakos, pouring him his cup of wine, as well as turning down the bed sheets, if you will, putting a blanket on him, hatzat amita, but we'll see more about that in a moment, as well as washing his hands and feet and face, which was customary in time of the Mishnah, would be done by somebody else, and it should be done by him, by her, again, because these things are very personal and affect like a chiba, like a certain endearment between him and her. And that's why those categories of things fall on the list of harchakos that kick in, when the woman's in nida and so on, because you don't want that sense of affection to be developed at that time. So, with all that said, now we'll list these seven categories of work that a woman is expected to do as part of her economic contribution to the household. Elu malachos sha'isha osa levala. These are the things that a woman does for her husband as part of pulling her weight in the house. First of all, tochenes. She grinds. That means the Mishnah has in mind the picture of like a hand mill. So you're talking about something you grind by your own hand. You feed in like wheat kernels, you grind it by hand, and out comes flour. This, of the list of seven, is the most labor-intensive, and as the list proceeds, it will become less and less labor-intensive. So this is the most laborious of them all. And if she's using it's larger than a handmill, so then, of course, if it's being pulled by a donkey or something, she's not the donkey. But she's responsible to make sure that the grains are fed into the mill properly, and she's in charge of keeping her eye on to make sure that nothing goes bad with the flour afterwards. She keeps her eyes on the flour. So she's involved in the grinding process. She's responsible for that. Second of all, va'ofa. She does the baking. Now, baking is considered to be the second most demanding of the tasks. I'm not perfectly sure why. I'm sure if I live in the time of the Mishnah, it'll be obvious to me. I never baked as they baked in the time of the Mishnah. For sure, part of it is the kneading of the dough, which is certainly laborious and a lot of work. It may also require things like, I don't know what else, from drawing water to do the kneading to making the fire to, feeding the fire, maybe going out to the ovens. I don't know all the things that are involved, but the baking was considered to be especially demanding, more than we'll see later on as cooking. And the third thing is, u'mechabeses, she is in charge of laundering, of washing the clothing. The kibbutz that the Mishnah has in mind here would be going down to a river or a washing station with the dirty clothing. Essentially, you have like with detergent and rocks that you use for scouring the clothing and like physically rubbing them clean to get them clean and then rinse them in the water. Again, it's a lot of labor, it's a lot of scrubbing, it's a lot of hard work. It's less so than grinding and baking, but these three things are from the most demanding list. Beyond that, number four is mivashalet. She does the cooking. This is considered less. This is putting food onto a pot, stirring the pot, and so on. Number five is menike esbina. She nurses her child. The diuk that the Gemara speaks out here is we're talking about her child, not his child, meaning that if, for argument's sake, the fellow had two wives, and, wife B had a child, it's not a responsibility of wife A to nurse wife B's child. No, it's her own children that she has to nurse. And more than that, the Gemara points out that we're talking, it would have said nurse's children or her nurse her children in the plural, but it says in the singular. And the reason why it says in the singular is because she's only expected to be able to nurse one child. So in the event that she had twins, it'd be his responsibility anyways to make sure that there's like a second woman, a wet nurse, to help with the burden of nursing the newborn children. Okay, number six is matzat lo hamita, preparing the bed. Now, in the time of the Mishnah, this was more than just, what we would call making a bed, like, spreading the blanket over again. That's not this. In the time of the Mishnah, they slept on mattresses, which have to be redone every day in terms of arranging the pillows and mattresses. They were kind of stuffed and didn't have the rigidity and that our mattresses have today. And therefore, they needed to be sort of re-prepared, re-plumped. I'm not sure what else went into keeping the mattresses, sanitized with all the lice that went on and so forth. I don't know exactly. but a good amount of work was involved in preparing the bed. So that's like a laborious task, the least of the ones so far, but still it's more than this other category of hatzas and mitzvah, making the bed, which is basically pulling down the sheets or putting a blanket on top. That's considered nothing at all. That's part of the derech chiba. That's part of like the personal stuff between him and her. And finally, number seven is va'osa b'tzemra, and she should also make the wool. That means preparing the wool to have wool in the house, like, you know, like call it making yarn, if you will. even the shita holds that these other six are perhaps like a part of the maase that she can wave. Maybe this the osa b'tzemra is different. We'll see more about making wool later on. But the wool making here is the family needed wool to have their garments, to keep their clothing and so on, and she was expected sort of like to prepare that yarn so it could be done. And it'd be more than that if we're talking about a place where the normal thing is to sort of to weave that wool, she'd be expected to do that. If it's, you know, to do brocading, she'd be expected to do that, and so on and so forth. Okay. Fine. Now, so those are the seven categories of labor that are considered to be the wife's responsibility. Hichnisa lo shivcha achas. If, however, she brings a servant into the household, that means like she's got a full time like a live-in maid who's going to help. So then she's allowed to put some of the burden onto that maid. Lo tochenes. She no longer is required to do the grinding. The maid can do that. V'lo ofa, same goes for the baking. V'lo mechabeses, and also goes for the laundering. If they have just one domestic servant, so then that person will be responsible for those three tasks, the grinding, the baking, and the laundering. If you'll ask, wait a second, how come the maid can't do all seven of the tasks? The answer is, that's too much for one person. In the event you have a family of just a small family of two people, so then one woman can be expected to do all seven things. But once you have like a third adult in the household and she's also eating food, then there's that much more grain that needs to be ground up, and that much more clothing needs to be laundered, and so on and so forth. And that being the case, it's not reasonable to expect the maid to do all seven activities. She just takes the first three, the most laborious, can be passed on to her. Again, important to point out here, it's not specifically that she has to bring in a maid or a servant or a slave. If she brings the money to purchase and pay for, you know, domestic help, that'd be good enough, like meaning from her dowry. Or even if, as the Rambam paskens, if she didn't bring it in, but her husband has the wherewithal to pay for domestic help, he has to do so and relieve her of these. Shtaim, if she brings in two domestic servants or the equivalents, she pays for it somehow. So then, eina mevashelas ve'eina menika es bena. So she's off the hook of two more of the seven. She no longer needs to do the cooking, nor does she have to do the hanaka, the nursing of the baby. She can get a wet nurse to do it for her. Shalosh, if she brings in three servants or can pay for them, then eina metzat lo hamita ve'eina osa b'tzemer. Then she even doesn't need to do like the preparation of the beds or preparation of the wool. So all the seven tasks now are off of her. Off of her shoulders, off her lap. She would still be expected to do the kind of the light things that were mentioned up to now. Like I said, like, you know, the light cleaning work of tidying up, straightening up the house, and bringing him, you know, if you bring him his whatever, his pencil, or taking something, you know, envelope to the post office, those kind of light things she would still be expected to do. But if she has arba, if she brings in four servants, so then Yosheves Bekatedra, she can just sit on the easy chair, put her feet up, and say, I'm not lifting a finger, I'm not bringing any pencil, I'm not going to the post office, I'm not doing any neat tidying up, nothing. Everything is off her, and that will be the din. The Gemara asks, well, why did it take to four to get there? Why can't we say, if one woman and one man, two people, the woman could do all seven? Why don't we say, if there are four people, then two women could do all seven? And what if we took it to four? So the Gemara answers really fascinatingly to me, which is that any household that's going to have two servants in it is also going to be regularly visited by guests. They'll be putting up people and taking care of, you know, people beyond themselves, whether those are travelers, as the Mishnah seems to imply, or maybe, I don't know, widows and orphans, and so on. The point is, in the good old days, there were no hotels, really, and people who would be traveling through would be expected to be put up by the local community, and who else to do it but someone who has two servants? And therefore, again, there's more work to be done, and therefore, not until you get four live-ins are you able to, for the woman to say, I'm not lifting a finger, they can take care of everything. Okay, now, all that said, like I told you before, even though she's not doing any work, she would still be expected to do the things that are not a woman's work, so, quote-unquote, but rather something that's between a wife and a husband. So she would still be doing mezigas akos, giving him his cup of wine, and also hatsat amita, not the making of the bed as the Mishnah describes it, but just the you know, covering with a blanket or turning down the sheets kind of thing, as well as the washing of him, his hands, feet, and face. That should be done by her, his wife, and not some other woman. Now, Rabbi Eliezer is going to say, wait a second. If this woman's sitting on her easy chair and doing nothing all day, that's going to be a big problem. Even if she brings 100 servants into the marriage, I don't care. Kofal hasos batsemer. She should be doing something. She should at least be making some wool. It doesn't have to be like the full requisite amount, as we'll define later on in the Mishnah, of that quantity of wool, but she should be doing something towards the household, keeping herself busy, because shahabatala mevila de zima, a woman who has nothing to do, no responsibilities, will end up getting into trouble. Zima means like lewdness. She'll get up to no good because she's bored and looking for something to do. And as they say, I think it's a Christian expression, that lazy hands do for the devil's work. But that's the idea over here, that if she has nothing else to do, then she'll find something to do, which won't be good. Now, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, he's not really disagreeing with him at like loggerheads, really. He agrees the principle that she should have something to do, but he just takes it from a different angle, and I'll talk like Nafkamiz in a moment. He says, "Afa mader es ishto melasos melacha." If a person would take a formal neder that his wife should do no work whatsoever, he would say essentially, "I want nothing to do with you. I take a formal neder that you and I will not be together in the event that you do any of the household chores." So then Yotzi, then he is required to divorce her. That's grounds for divorce. She can demand a divorce if he won't let her work. V'yitin ksubas, and of course it's he's the bad guy, so he pays full the ksuba, even though he's being forced to divorce her. Shehabatala mevia l'idei shiamum or shimum, because batala, having nothing to do all day, makes a person, like, you know, drives a person to distraction, makes them go bananas. Not good for your mental health. And you can't be expected to be sort of kept in this golden cage with nothing to do. It's terrible. And that being the case, that's what Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says. He said if she has nothing to do, she'll go bonkers. And therefore, no, absolutely not. It's a terrible idea, and under no circumstances can she have nothing to do. So that's pretty similar to Rabbi Lezer's idea before. The difference is, let's say, for example, she has what to do. She has a bridge club, she plays canasta and mahjong, so is that going to be good enough? So according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, yeah, if she's entertained playing bridge all day, so then she's not going to be driven to distraction, she'll go bananas, she'll be distracted. But according to Rabbi Lezer, listen, still with no responsibilities, ultimately she'll get up to no good, and therefore, that's worse. But Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, we're not choshed, we don't suspect nice Jewish women of getting up to no good, but certainly they have to have something to do to keep them occupied, or else they will just, you know, the boredom will make them go bananas. And the halacha is really like this, meaning even like Rabbi Lezer, that the woman should be doing something, can't do nothing. It's not acceptable or expected or good or healthy for her to be doing nothing. She should have some responsibilities around the house to keep her engaged and invested.